want to be called Senator Paul, Dr. Paul, Rand,
yeah,
the guy with the great hair.
We're wondering, are you like Barbara Boxer? Do you demand us to call you certain things?
I think the guy with great hair is probably the best.
We love that. We'll call you the guy with great hair.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Can we get some common sense all up in here? How completely stoked are you to talk to Dr. Rand Paul and his wife, Kelly?
I'm really excited about his hair.
I know. I cannot wait. But before we get to the Pauls, we got to talk about some pillows, man.
Okay.
We got to talk about some pillows.
We always have to talk about our pillow people, My Pillow, because they're the best pillows ever. And they also have towels and they have dog beds and they have robes and they have everything and they have kitten fur technology.
That's just in the slippers.
Oh,
the moccasins,
yeah,
and the slippers, they got that squeezy kitten fur technology.
Yes, they
do. They call it like memory foam and they have pillow, like
whatever.
Fancy schmancy technology.
Whatever.
We know the real deal. It's exactly. Kitten fur squeezy technology and it is thebomb.com.
Right.
And right now they've got this huge sale on their traditional pillows, which of course is what they're known for. And their pillows are amazing. So right now you can get a queen size premium My Pillow for just $29.98. Kings are only $5 more. It's amazing.
You got to use the code, though.
You got to use the code.
Is chicks.
You can use that code at 1-800-875-0513 or just go to mypillow.com and use code chicks there. It works on all the things. You get discounts on all the different things. It's
all
amazing.
Thanks.
Okay, let's talk to Dr. Paul now.
Okay, let's do it.
We could not be more happy to have the greatest guests ever, Dr. Senator Rand Paul, the man with the hair, and his lovely wife, Kelly. We are so delighted to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. I wanted to start, if we could, with Kelly, because you have faced so much, I will say trauma. I know that's a word that's overused by the left a lot, but I think in your case, ever since August of 2020, when the two of you were so brutally mobbed in D.C. after the RNC convention, and ever since then, now that your husband has been speaking out more forcefully about COVID, you're getting death threats continuously. You've been attacked, like, physically. How are you dealing with all of that?
Well, I think you make a good point because the left loves to, you know, use words like trauma and you know, all of this, you know, terrorism and all of these things. But Rand and I have both been the victims of physical and, you know, threats. We've been exposed to people spitting on us, literally held hostage in D.C. for nearly 10 minutes by a mob that was screaming the worst things you can possibly imagine at us. I mean, calling us every name in the book, telling us they were going to F us up, they were going to kill us, throwing liquids on us. We could not move at all. I mean, when you see the video where the police with the bikes come in, that was actually the least terrifying part because those were the reinforcements and we were actually moving then. Before that, we were surrounded by probably upwards of 100 people telling us they were going to kill us, going to F us up. And the left never seemed to care about that. There was not a single Democrat that condemned that mob that terrorized us. My friend Shelley, I think they were aiming for Rand. They poured threw foul liquid at us. It drenched the back of her dress. She was in the mob, lost a shoe. They picked it up and threw it. I mean, it was truly the most horrifying moment of my life. And the left has never, you know, and I mean, not even some of our people that we know well on the Democrat side, you think they'd say, this is not what we stand for. This is terrorizing people. This is holding people hostage. And do you not a single one of those people were ever arrested or charged with anything? We're now getting letters to our house, and this last one was filled with some kind of powdery sand. I could hear it, you know, when I was standing there holding the mail in my arms, and I threw it in the grass. But, you know, the FBI and everybody's like, well, you have to treat it like it's anthrax. So, you know, take a shower, throw your clothes, you know, outside. And, you know, it's just terrifying until you hear. I mean, thank God it wasn't. But this is just an attempt to intimidate and silence people that they don't agree with. And I know there are crazy people out there who will do terrible things, but I would just like for once someone on the left, either a Democrat or a media person, to say, we hate this. This is not acceptable. It's not acceptable when it's done to anybody, but we haven't heard that.
It's awful. It's completely unacceptable what's happened to you. And then I feel like this is also happening just from a cancel culture perspective, from just a culture perspective in general, to conservatives all across our country. There's such a dichotomy between conservatives and liberals, right? The accountability factor, the way that conservatives are treated versus liberals, the way that there is just a double standard, right, in this country between conservatives and liberals. Can you speak to that a little bit, Dr. Paul, about how I feel like we see a lot of college students, and college students will come to us and say, I'm scared to say that I'm conservative on a college campus. That breaks my heart because I feel like there are a lot of people, and it goes beyond college students. It's just regular everyday Americans who are afraid to say they're conservative and afraid to speak out because there is such a squelching of conservatism now. People are afraid to say that they're conservative or afraid to say they're Republican because there is such a double standard in this country.
You know, I think the irony of it is that the left keeps committing violence. And every time they do, they say, well, it's Trump's fault. So somehow the violence that the left is committing is Trump's fault. But going back to the mob scene in Washington, Kelly and I being surrounded, we really didn't think we would survive. But I think it's important for people to not think that this is simply about race. About half the people or more who attacked us were black, but half of them were white Antifa. Mm-hmm. But then the people who defended us and saved our lives, two out of the three policemen were black. So this isn't about race. This is about right and wrong. I was being protected by a black policeman in Dallas recently, and we were talking about this. And he says, yeah, it's not about race. It's about right and wrong. And many of our police are doing a great job are African-American. Many of the people committing this thuggery in the streets are African-American. But it isn't about race. It's about right and wrong. And we do need to stand up to it. But so many people on the left are feeling so justified in it, they actually somehow feel morally right or righteous mm-hmm. about committing violence. And this mm-hmm. is really disturbing. And so, frankly, they need to be punished. I mean, if they catch the person who delivered this powder, we want them to go to jail. If they will prosecute the woman who called up and was going to shoot us, I think she deserves to be punished as well. There has to be a punishment. Otherwise, it just is going to spiral out of control. And this isn't new. Look, I was at the ball field when a Bernie Sanders supporter almost killed Steve Scalise. You know, I was 10 feet from a staff member who was shot. The bullets were landing all around us. And at that time, we were actually much more, you know, fair-minded in the sense that we didn't say it was Bernie Sanders' fault. But the left has never been that fair-minded and blames all violence. You know, anything that's happened at any point in time is either Donald Trump's fault or Republicans' fault. And there's no self-awareness of how much violence is truly originating on the left.
And it does seem like there's so many district attorneys now that just simply won't press charges or they'll just let these people go.
Right.
And so there's never a consequence, which is so frustrating. And Kelly, I don't know. I mean, how are you dealing with the continued threats? I'm assuming you've hired security and you're doing whatever needs to be done to protect your family. But just from an emotional standpoint, like, how do you cope with that?
Well, you know, I sleep with a loaded gun next to my bed, for one thing. I mean, we've installed all kinds of deadbolts inside our house. So when I go to bed at night, I'm deadbolted like about four levels, you know, hoping that I would hear somebody if some crazy comes in here. And we do have loaded guns everywhere, which we never really, you know, we always had a gun somewhere. Now we know exactly where they are. We do have more heavy duty security at our home that we've had to do. There are cameras everywhere. Rand used to just walk through the airport on his own. Now he typically will have police escort him because people have gotten so hostile and crazy. And it's terrifying. And to your point, you know, I just gave a speech at TPUSA about the silencing of ideas. And I always say the left has become what they say they hate.
Yes.
They have become closed-minded. They have become pro-censorship. Mm-hmm. They have become, we used to always believe that a free-thinking person, a liberal, I mean, the liberal that I grew up with, what did you do more than anything? You question authority.
Right.
Question authority, especially government authority, right? Now, you better be lockstep in line with everything they say, or they will label you a conspiracy theorist or a QAnon or a Trump supporter or a crazy. There's no questioning. And even in science, it's extended to science, and Rand can speak to this. The very heart of science used to be skepticism. Prove me wrong. I challenge you on this. Now, there's only one answer, and it's what Dr. Fauci says. And if you challenge that, you challenge science itself.
For sure. So what are we're very interested to know what next steps are, because as I understand it, there's emails of Dr. Fauci's that have yet to be released. So what steps are being taken to get those released? And where are you? I know you've been working really hard on this in uncovering more about the origins of COVID. And I don't understand why, but Fauci continues to say, oh, this probably happened naturally from animal to human. Why is he still making that claim?
There's rumors that there's going to be an announcement in the next day or two that there will be a committee investigating this. I've been advocating for a committee that I'm on, the health committee, to investigate this. Now, the committee's chaired by Democrats. The Democrats make the decision. But we've been pushing and pushing and pushing, and we think we are going to get a committee hearing on this. We want to bring in the scientists to have examined this. So far, it looks like almost all of the evidence points towards the lab. Now, it's not 100% because no one's going to ever admit the truth. If you did in China, you'd probably be killed or assassinated. So the truth is that all the evidence leans in that direction, but we'll never completely prove it. But they looked at all the animals in the wet market, and they tested 80,000 animals, and they couldn't find COVID in any of them. That sort of suggests that it didn't come from the wet market. Three of the workers in the lab who got sick had COVID symptoms in November. That suggested as well. But we also have that the investigation was being performed by Dr. Fauci and this Dr. Daszak, and they were self-interested in this. Even the letter by scientists saying, oh, it's all conspiracy theory, that was organized by Dr. Daszak, who was the lead funder of the lab. So they were all self-interested and all had a conflict of interest. But most of the evidence points towards it coming from the lab now. And the reason this is important, not only to put blame where blame should go, but we're still doing this kind of research. We should not be taking viruses that are 15, 20, 30, 40% mortality and trying to make them more transmissible in humans. It's a death wish. But both Fauci and Daszak are on record as saying that the research is worth it and that even if a pandemic should occur, it's worth it. So really, they have blood on their hands and they've been advocating for this research. And they've been saying precisely that even if a pandemic occurs, not everybody agrees with them. There's hundreds of scientists who are not Republican, not conservative. They're just scientists that are worried about this research. There's been a real debate about this for 10 years. So my hope is that we try to prevent this from happening again. We have some of these labs in the U.S. doing this research, and I think we need to have stricter controls over this. We need to have a real discussion whether we should continue to do this kind of research.
That's our hope, too. We really hope that that happens, too. And it's astounding that this guy is the highest paid federal employee. Like, still, unbelievable.
And that there's no accountability.
Right.
Well, and it's worse than that. He completely is discounting that you get immunity when you get the disease naturally. 100 million Americans have gotten the disease naturally. Now, nobody wants to get this disease. It's a bad disease, particularly if you're older. You don't want it. But if you've already gotten it and have an immunity, shouldn't we count that for something? Mm-hmm. Because they're not counting it, they still say we're short on immunity. But if you look at the daily numbers, I looked at it earlier today, 500 people in the U.S. were positive so far today. That's just a dramatic, almost complete reversal of where we were. Mm-hmm. And so the herd immunity, we are there because of vaccines and natural immunity. But if you don't count natural immunity, they say, well, we need to make sure all kids have it. So they're going to mandate it on children. But the thing is the risk of dying from this or getting sick for a child is about 1 in 1 million. So we really have to have a vaccine that's almost perfectly safe, because who wants to make their kid take a vaccine that really, you know, what if the risk of myocarditis is 1 in 100,000, but the risk of dying from COVID is 1 in 1 million? That doesn't add up. And so we shouldn't be forcing it on kids. And the virus is going away because of accumulated immunity. We don't need to be forcing this on our kids.
Remember that song, Shamani?
Right in front of my face.
I'm just gonna hide it.
I do remember that specific
Chamonix
song.
Yeah, that one.
And Chamonix, that is the parent company of the line called Genucel, G-E-N-U-C-E-L, which has plant stem cell technology.
Yes, they do.
But we also have determined that there's another whole kind of technology in their XV wrinkle cream.
Right.
It's fluffy butter technology.
It's fluffy butter. That's what it is. It's fluffy butter. It makes your skin look like fluffy butter.
I mean, For real.
With that, like, there are no wrinkles. It's fluffy butter, and it feels like fluffy butter.
It does. It's like, so luxurious. And you get it for free when you order the most popular package at lovegenucell.com/chicks. And once again, you need to use the code
CHICKS.
That is what will get you the XV wrinkle treatment cream from GenuCell. You can also get 10% off of no matter what you order, but you get the free XV cream when you get the most popular package, which is totally worth it. It's got so many good goodies in it.
Oh my God. It has that instant effect stuff in it, which you're going to see results like instantly. Like, well, they say 12 hours, but I mean, I see it like right. It's like right immediately. It's amazing stuff. Yeah. So basically just look younger, you guys. If you want to look younger, buy this stuff.
Why would you not do that? Again, it's lovegenucell.com/chicks. lovegenucell.com/chicks. Get yourself some skincare. Get your discount. Do it right now. What are Kentucky schools doing right now in terms of requiring masks or requiring vaccines? What's going on in your state?
We've been very slow to go back to school. So we have some in school, some out of school, and requirement of masks is, you know, everywhere. And the real thing that upsets me is now that the adults can walk around no mask and the kids have to wear masks.
Nothing gets
me more than seeing a kid running track with a mask. That is insane. Ugh. There's no science behind it. And Dr. Fauci ought to be ashamed of himself for advocating stuff for which there is no factual basis and is such a disservice to our kids.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, that clip of you questioning him about the masks being political theater, you had to feel some serious vindication after those emails came out. And I have a question because I know you're a physician, too. And this has been something that's bothered me about the mask discussion since the get-go. When last March, he was very clearly on the record saying nobody should be wearing masks if they're healthy. How is it that in the year 2020, there's even debate about whether or not something like a cloth facial covering is effective? Effective or not? That's what blows my mind about the mask discussion as it is.
Here's the amazing thing is he lied both times. When he said no masks work, that was a lie. And when he said all masks work, that was also a lie. Some masks work and you have to use them incredibly precisely. So the N95 mask works. So the truth of the matter, if you want to know, well, does a cloth mask work? Ask anybody you know who's a doctor, if they go into a COVID patient's room, if they cut up their T-shirt and wear their T-shirt when they go into the room. No one does that. They only wear the N95 mask. They go in sterilely. When they leave, they throw away their gloves and their mask. If you do that, you can really cut down the transmission in a hospital setting where someone's sick, which is very, very important that we don't, you know, before the vaccine in particular, that we not infect our doctors and nurses. But the thing is the cloth mask and no study work. The particles are measurably smaller than the pores of the mask. So for Dr. Fauci to go around wearing two cloth masks and a surgical mask and all this stuff, it was complete theater, but it was also a disservice because let's say you have a mother or grandmother in their late 80s and you didn't have the vaccine yet or they can't take the vaccine for some reason. You wouldn't want to have them wear a cloth mask because it doesn't work. So he's telling you something that's a lie. And then you'll alter your behavior to maybe expose your grandmother to somebody that might have it in your household or to your parents, when in reality, the N95 mask would have been the appropriate device. But he was afraid we'd buy too many of them. So he had to make up these different lies. But that's not the kind of person we want in government.
No, yeah. Of course not. And so there's a lot of talk about vaccine passports and there's a lot of parents that are really, really concerned about that. A lot of universities are saying we are mandating
companies
and health organizations, too. There's local hospitals here in the Indianapolis area that are requiring all of their employees to be vaccinated. And they're offering some exemptions based on medical or religious exemptions. But I'm actually really nervous about that. What is your take on where Congress is on vaccine passports?
The problem is they're completely discounting those who have gotten the disease naturally. They're not getting any. They still have to be vaccinated. And it makes no scientific sense. So it kind of galls me that a hospital that wants to base their policy on science says everyone must be vaccinated. But if you've already had the disease, that doesn't count. And that's just completely beyond the science and wrong. The good news on the vaccine passport is we've had the governor of Texas and the governor of Florida stand up and say, we're not having it. Some of them have passed legislation. That's good. And I need to give a shout out to my dad because 20 some odd years ago, he prevented the federal government from doing something called a unique patient identifier, which would make your medical records nationalized and collected and held by the government. He stopped that in 1998, and I've still been holding it. We almost lost it last year, and I was able to keep that provision in there saying the government's not going to do it. If you already had that number, they'd be doing this, and you'd be that's how your vaccine passport would be done. That's all your medical records. And the thing is, there's a lot of things that are private about your medical records. I mean, you might have an infectious disease you don't want the whole world to know about. You might see a psychiatrist. Not that that's a problem, but you might not want everybody to know about it. Certain medications, a lot of things you wouldn't want everybody to know. It's nobody's business. Nobody wants their private doctor visits to be online and potentially revealed by the federal government. So we do have to watch this for a multitude of reasons. The good news is I think there's a bunch of us pushing back. So I'm hoping that we don't go on to a vaccine passport.
Yeah.
Dr. Paul and Kelly Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to the Chicks on the Right today. We really, really appreciate it and loved having you as guests.
Absolutely do. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Thanks.
So did it freak you out a little bit when Rand was talking about Fauci and how, you know, he is basically like, that guy is going to cause the demise of.
I mean, it's kind of a big deal, right? Like, so that kind of stuff, that kind of talk about pandemics and like the next big one and all
that stuff. It freaks you out completely because you're constantly thinking like there's going to be some sinkhole in your backyard that's going to suck you in. And if it's not the sinkhole, it's going to be the pandemic, which is basically going to be the demise of like everybody. But listen,
Or zombies.
Just remember double tap. But here's remember double tap and My Patriot Supply food. That's what you need. Am I wrong?
I'll tell you. No, you're not wrong because you know I'm not a prepper. But man, I feel so much peace of mind every time I pass by the two giant containers of the emergency food supply that I got from My Patriot Supply because it's 4 weeks worth of food that will last me for 4 weeks. And it is 2,000 calories a day. So am I going to eat, I'm going to eat really well.
Right.
Last for 25 years. I know I'm prepared. As soon as people start pulling food off the grocery store shelves, like in a panic, because this is what people do, I know that I can chill. I know that I'm good for 4 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to kick back and go, ha, suckers. That's what you're going to do. Yeah, exactly. And the thing that's great about them too is you can call them, you can get more of like whatever you want, like breakfast food, dinner stuff. You can get more mac and cheese if you want it, that kind of thing, which is exactly what I'm going to get is more mac and cheese. So this is the thing. You guys got to call them and get the food.
You can actually just go to preparewiththechicks.com. We've got like our own site, you guys, preparewiththechicks.com. And as soon as you go to that site, you're going to see that 4 week emergency food supply kit listed first. You can also get like a 3 month supply if you want. But right now, if you go and you want the 4 week supply, the emergency food kit, you save $50 by going to preparewiththechicks.com. I promise you, you're going to get it and you're going to feel like, okay, this I've got. Now I just need to go buy some bottled water. I need to go get a generator. Mm-hmm. Good to go. This is your beginning of preparation.
And the thing is you say you're not a prepper, but you're now a prepper.
Now I am.
You're a prepper now.
I'm like preparing to be a prepper. I'm like prepping to prep.
You're a prepper.
Wouldn't you like to be a prepper too?
A prepper
too,
be a prepper. There's a song for everything, you guys. There's a song for everything. Did you have fun today? Are you happy? You seem really giddy because you guys.
Well, I mean, that was cool, right? Like that was cool that we got to talk to them. Really what a lovely couple.
It didn't seem real to me though.
The whole,
I felt like I was still talking to like a television.
Yeah.
It was very strange. You know what I mean? Like, I know it was real. I mean, it felt more real talking to his wife than it was. I was like, wait, that's Rand Paul. He's on my screen.
Probably because he has like the professional backdrop where it looks like he's literally at the Capitol. And we're like, I'm in a family room and you're in a library. Right. So, you know,
we're just two dorks on a podcast. I know it's just very strange. But he's a joy to talk to. His wife is absolutely lovely.
I know. We can be friends with her.
Right. We need to totally be friends with her. She needs to come back. We want her to come hang out with us. And so I think that we can convince her to come hang out with us. Like maybe, you know, have her come and hang out with us maybe twice a year, maybe more.
Maybe we should invite her to Vegas.
I think she should come to Vegas with us. That's not at all stalky mock, but I think she should totally come to Vegas with us and celebrate our birthdays.
Well, even though we don't have fancy backdrops, we do have some very, very loyal listeners, and I appreciate that. They are the ones that leave the nice comments and reviews on the iTunes Apple Podcast platform. We've got two this week that are just so nice. You're going to love this.
I can't wait.
The first one comes from L.M. Bowler or Bowler. And that person says, I listen to the Daily Dish and the Weekly Deep Dives and I'm a member of their insiders group on Facebook. These ladies are awesome. They give me many reasons to smile, laugh, or guffaw out loud all the times. Thank you for keeping us on the right path. So that's the first one.
That's very sweet.
Awesome. And then this is great. So this is from CLK2222. And they write, I have to say, I never thought I would be a podcast can't girl, but here I am. I stumbled across one of your morning daily dishes on Facebook and was hooked. I look forward to them every morning with my coffee. I became an insider and bought your book, My Pillow products, etc. Your friendship reminds me of mine with my bestie. Your personalities complement each other wonderfully. You start my morning off with a smile, and I know that in all this chaos, I know I'm not alone, and there are other people like me who can band together and be unapologetically conservative without the crazy, silly, old-fashioned stereotypes. Love you, ladies. Keep up the amazing work.
That was really, really sweet.
Isn't that the greatest?
That was very, very, very sweet. Yeah.
I love that.
I know.
Love
it's sweet.
That.
The people who wake up with us every morning, I'm just like, gosh, these people get up so early.
I know.
And then I realize that we're also getting up really early.
I know. Very, very early indeed.
We're just as crazy as they are.
Anyway, this has been a good, good episode, if
it
I
was.
Do say so myself.
It really was. It's always fun when we get to talk to, you know, people like senators. Find out what's going on in the D.C. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So and in the meantime, you can find us everywhere, really.
Right. Right. You can find us in all the different places, like the Facebook. We have so many places on Facebook to find us. Like there's a group. We have an insiders group. We have a regular Facebook page. We have like all the places on Facebook. And then we have, of course, our website, which is where you can find all the things. So go to chicksontheright.com. And that has all the places that you can find us. And then we have, you know, all the different places on social, like
Twitter,
Instagram.
Rumble, Instagram,
yeah, Parler, all the every place you can imagine. And it's all at Chicks on Right. So go to those places, find us. We'll be there.
And if you like tailgating, you can look up the Mock and Daisy Show on YouTube, and you can actually chat with fellow watchers of our morning videos before they start, about a half an hour before they start. So like 6:30 a.m. Eastern, everybody gets in the chat group and starts chatting, and it's so fun. So yeah. fun.
And that is 5:30 a.m. Central. I thought I'd point that out. So anyhow, you guys, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
The Biden drilling ban gets shot down in court. Even Tom Hanks isn't woke enough for some on the left. And CNN admits Kamala Harris is cringeworthy when it comes to the border. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll serve up the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives and do our best to give you some laughs while we dissect the insanity. Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.